biggest stories, the best names, and all the big breaking news. The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Happy game day, everybody. It's game two of the Battle of Alberta second round playoff series between the Oilers and the Flames. Will Nault, Logan Gordon along with you on hour one of the Big Show, a game day edition. We have lots to dissect over the next 3 hours with you, lots to break down, and of course, some pretty quality press conferences on both sides. We'll hear from all of those particulars and get you through all of it and get you set for puck drop as best as we can, as the next 6.5 hours is going to be trying to gear you up for an 8:30 puck drop this evening. The Flames won game 1-9-6 over the Edmonton Oilers, and Logo, pretty hard to predict what we might see in game two. If I was to take one thing to the bank, though, I'm not sure we'll see 15 goals again.
I don't think so.
Dangerous guessing, though.
Yeah, it's. We had a lot of perfect things to say about what wouldn't happen in game one, and all of those got thrown out the window, so nothing's for sure, but I have a good feeling that it won't be quite like it was in game one, if at least if the coaches have anything to say about it.
Is there one thing you can predict, or is there one thing you'd like to see, maybe from a Calgary standpoint tonight, that you maybe didn't see enough of in game one, even though they got the victory?
Well, to be honest, if I was to predict anything, it would be a bounce back from Jacob Markstrom. Pretty easy to say, but based on everything I've seen in the season plus that he's been there, including last year, that's just not a performance that comes up from that guy very often. Are there games where goalies want a couple back? Sure, but to have a flat-out bad performance like that from Jacob Markstrom just simply doesn't happen, and that's a guy that's motivated and puts in the work to make sure that it doesn't happen. I would feel pretty confident about almost any prediction going into tonight that would be a bounce back game from Jacob Markstrom. It doesn't mean the Flames are going to win, but I can certainly guarantee you he's going to be a better version of himself tonight.
Yeah, and I think that that's probably where I would go as well. And maybe just to double down and kind of be on the same wavelength as you, if there was one thing I would predict tonight, it's a little bit better and more in sync from a team defense approach for the Flames tonight. Because as much as they, you know, took advantage of some porous defense on the Edmonton side, I don't think Daryl Sutter was very pleased with what he saw in front of his goaltender. And yes, Jacob Markstrom needs to be better, but I do think limiting grade A chances, and as we'll hear here in a little bit with Peter Laborteus, you can't allow Connor McDavid and company to have another big night, because if you do, you're probably not going to be on the right side more often than not. So that's what I'd be watching for, or safely predicting in this game tonight. A couple of notes for you before we get to Lou. First off, they had to cancel it kind of last minute on game one on Wednesday due to high winds, and because some of the damage suffered on Wednesday, the Calgary Flames, unfortunately, have canceled the Red Lot viewing party for tonight and for Sunday's Game 3. So the Red Lot has been canceled for tonight and Sunday's Game 3. But the Calgary Flames have opened up the Saddle Dome for a Game 3 viewing party inside the Seating Bowl with the game on the Jumbotron. Tickets are free, and the same thing as the Red Lot, non-transferable and have zero cash value. So if you pick up some tickets and then put them on sale on Facebook, that's probably not going to fly. Those people that buy them from you are not going to be able to get in the building. So non-transferable, and you shouldn't be doing that anyways with free tickets. But anyways, the demand is high enough that we want to make sure that is perfectly picture clear for you. You can get the tickets tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on CalgaryFlames.com. The Flames are limiting it to 4 per person, and they're also asking that you please only grab the amount of tickets you will use to avoid unused tickets. This, of course, due to high demand. So 4 per person or per party, and please only grab the tickets you can use. Again, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning on CalgaryFlames.com. Speaking of tickets, we do have a pair of tickets to give away to Game 2 this evening. We've been doing this all playoff long, going back to Round 1 every day. Before that game day, we give you a code word. You enter that code word at 960-960. with your first and last name on the text. You can enter as many times as you want. And then we put every name in our little generator and pull a name out of the bunch. And we've got a winner to announce today for game two. If this series requires a game five next week, we'll have more tickets available for game five. But heading to game two tonight in the lower bowl with a pair of seats is Travis. So if your name is Travis, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, there's probably a handful of Travis's listening. We mentioned this on Wednesday. I don't want to give out too much personal information, but if your name is Travis, you will be getting a call from our promo team here in the next couple of minutes, and you'll be off to game two to watch the Calgary Flames and the Edmonton Oilers. If your name is Travis and you didn't get a call from our promo team in the next 5-10 minutes, I'm sorry to tell you that you're not the Travis who has won, but congratulations to Travis. And again, if there's a game five, we'll have more code words for you and another chance to win a pair of tickets to the lower bowl. Travis going to game two tonight, an 8:30 puck drop. We've got all the action for you on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You can also watch it on Sportsnet and CBC. As I mentioned, he's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault, and our leadoff hitter every single day is Calgary Flames analyst on Flames Radio. He's Peter Labardius, and he joins us right now for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference, now offering air miles, reward miles. You can check them out online at GeminiGroup.ca. Hello, Lou. Happy game day.
Yes, happy game day. Interesting morning. Both teams somewhat going through the paces and some interesting media events. I find myself in a position outside of his interview to hear much of what was delivered by the Flames, but certainly was in on all the Oilers stuff, which there was some interesting components of it today.
Yeah, and Logo's actually just getting that audio, so we'll hear it in a little bit here from Evander Kane. Before we get there, Lou, I mean, this is very inside baseball, but I found it quite interesting, and I noticed this when the Oilers were in town late in the season, but Jay Woodcroft, a man who likes to stand for press conferences,
yeah,
which I thought was
interesting. You know what? Like, I'm a big fan of this guy. I've known him for a long, long time.
I was
going to
say, I loved his hello, Peter, in his first press conference. That was good.
Yeah. That caught me by surprise as much as I think everybody else in the room. You know, just been around for a long time. It's a great story, really, about Jay because, you know, he really had to bide his time, and he's worked with some, you know, great organizations and amazing people. And, you know, he's just been always one of those guys that always has time for you, regardless of where I've ever seen him, you know, chatted with him. Obviously, I've known Dave Manson for a long time. You know, he and Todd McClellan are thick as thieves. So, yeah, Jay has handled himself wonderfully in the playoffs, and there are no shortage of good questions that, you know, the local Edmonton media, who's here in full force, have been asking, which you'll all get a chance to hear in its entirety at some point during the course of our afternoon with the time that we have to fill. So, you know, I'm a big fan. I would just assume that he doesn't win this series, but he's, despite the fact that he's the coach of the Edmonton Oilers right now, you know, he's the type. I say this a lot. Well, I'm at the point outside of the odd situation in my career where I cheer for people more than I cheer for teams.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, in terms of the story for Jay, because I would imagine he's had a lot of phone calls to his two older brothers who are also coaches. And yeah, you know, obviously,
there's a little it's not hard at the family supper table to, yeah. You know what? It's funny you bring that up. I wasn't thinking along those lines, my friend, but I would pay to sit at the Woodcroft table and just listen, because they're all very engaging people, very smart people. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That would be, there's, and you know what? I've had some of those types of opportunities, mostly in junior coaches' offices over the years.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed that stuff, folks, as much as I enjoy the game sometimes. Like, I would just leave a Peter DeBoer's office in Kitchener, Dale Hunter, you know, go on Andre Tournier, you know, go on down the list. Like, just vibrating, just feeling so fortunate to sit there and talk hockey with these incredibly bright, intelligent, good people. So, yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be a fun night at the Woodcroft table. I don't think I'm invited right now, maybe ever, but but I'm not going to turn down the invite if it comes.
For those wondering, yeah, two older brothers, Todd and Craig, and both head coaches right now, Todd at the University of Vermont, and I believe Craig is over in the KHL. So there's mm-hmm. those two gentlemen, and yeah, coaching certainly running in the Woodcroft family. He's Peter Labardius. Game day, Flames, Oilers, game two, 8:30 start this evening. And Logo, the floor is yours, because we've got some heat to deliver here.
Yes, Evander Kane in the middle of everything. Yes, in game one, plenty of interactions with a number of different Flames, including Milan Lucic, and finished up their media availability today, and a couple of quotes catching people's eyes. First of all, Evander asked about just their general chances, how they feel heading into game two tonight. Here's what Evander had to say.
I think if we don't give up 9 goals tonight, I really like our chances.
And on the front of standing up for each other, getting a little bit more involved with the Flames' top players, and even what it would be like to mix up with Milan Lucic a bit more, Evander Kane from earlier.
Well, if they're going to go after our top guys, we're going to go after their top guys. I think we didn't do a good enough job of that last game. I think we did a good job of sticking up for one another, and. I think that's the best way to handle that.
So it's about being proactive, maybe not waiting for them to lean on your guys?
I think so.
You had a good little interaction, Evander, with Lucic. How do you see that kind of battle playing out here?
I don't know if there's much of a battle there. I think, we welcome him being on the ice, whatever he is.
Some pointed words, Mr. Labardius.
It's awesome. Isn't that what this time of the year is all about?
I think so.
Yeah, we wanted a rivalry, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. You always want somebody who's going to pitch in and mix it in. And Evander played that role very nicely today. The thing people forget about, I don't necessarily, but... some of us remember when Evander Kane was a 15-year-old member of the Vancouver Giants and, along with Milan Lucic, won a Memorial Cup in 2007. So that's a little interesting wrinkle for me when I watch those two go toe-to-toe. I understand why he would come out and say, the Flames, to their credit, especially I thought early in the game, were very physical when they had an opportunity with Connor McDavid. But, like, you have to be. And I do expect Evander and company to be more physical against the Flames' top guys. But you know what? You can't play into that what you just heard. You can't. And, you can maybe use it as a little fuel, but you can't get mixed up in that. And, when I assessed the series, and Jay Woodcroft had a terrific answer when he was asked about, a similar type of situation, he talked about, where their energy needs to be and their commitment and is to their systematic play, not necessarily getting involved in any kind of shenanigans. So, on the whole, I would think, the Flames are probably pretty well equipped for shenanigans, not to say that the Oilers don't have a few, including Mr. Kane, but it's okay. I thought the folks would, nobody's fired up, so why would I feed that fire?
No, it's just everybody's ready for this.
Nice and calm. Yeah, nice
yeah.
And
calm. Everybody's.
Oh, yeah. There will be juice in the rink tonight. I thought it was a touchdown in game number one.
It'll be off the charts tonight. A Friday night coming off a goal, a game that had 15 goals. Yeah, it's going to be and a puck drop at about 9 p.m. Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah, a little extra sauce.
Oh, yeah. 9
it'll
PM
be good.
Allows you to get a lot of sauce in the system before puck drop.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lux.
Power play still an issue for this Flames team, Lou. Haven't been really able to get things going. Good news is the Oilers weren't able to get theirs back on track in game one, but the Flames certainly know that needs to be better.
It does, but the Flames won the special teams battle, and they did get one. You know, it kind of got lost a little bit, but you're right. On the whole, they're still 3-for-27, 3-for-28 in the series. I think at times the numbers don't always tell the story because they have, you know, chipped in. There's been a number of goals in the playoffs that have occurred, you know, right at the time a penalty would expire or just seconds later. And those are, you know, those don't get registered, guys, as power play goals, but they're power play goals. They really are. So I saw some better looks. Obviously, the goal by Matthew was very important. As it turned out, every one virtually was important in that high-scoring affair. But I, you know, Kirk Muller, it's a big part of the associate coach's task, and so I went to him and asked him how he's felt about the power play in the playoffs.
Well, you look at it, really, you know, we scored two, you know, with a couple seconds after the power play, you put them in there, and then right. All of a sudden the percentage goes up.
Right.
But I think the biggest thing is, you know, in the playoffs, it's got to bring momentum, whether you score or not, and pace, you know. And I think, if anything, we just got to simplify do everything just a little quicker and a little more efficiently. And you know, last game, you know, we had some real clear-cut scoring chances and we didn't score. So I think that it's not so much reinventing the wheel. I think it's just cleaning it up a little bit and just being a little sharper.
I do see building blocks and pointed it out on our pregame show, guys. Yes. Trying to limit the Oilers' power play, which the Flames did a marvelous job of in game one, is massively important. But on par, you know, if the Flames can chip one in a lot of nights, I think that's going to make a massive difference in this series.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's one of those things where if you can't, you know, contain the oil, and maybe some of that stuff does boil over every now and then with, you know, all the talk that's going on between these two teams. We've seen it happen before, Lou. You want to be ready to make teams pay if that's going to happen, and the best way to do that is to go out in the power play and score goals, and that would be huge for this team.
It would, and Logan, as you just heard from Kirk, and it's something that, you know, I've certainly learned over the years from coaches in particular that I've dealt with, is scoring is one thing, but creating momentum or not giving momentum away is equally important. There is nothing sometimes that can turn momentum in a game is when you have a power play and you absolutely produce nothing with it. That can hurt you as much as not scoring, because it can change the game and give the other team a huge boost. And I'll give you a perfect example. Now, in this case, they had to score, but outside of Johnny's penalty shot and probably game winner, I think one of the biggest moments in the series was the goal on the 5-on-3 by Rasmus Anderson in game four.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very, for me, pivotal moment in the series. Very.
Yeah, hard to disagree. I think that there's a lot of different ways that special teams aspect is going to come into play. I wanted to ask you, too, Connor McDavid, you know, his usual brilliant best, but it was probably I don't know if it was highlighted as much as it usually would be, Lou. I mean, he had 4 points in the loss, and we were talking about plenty of other things, but the Flames certainly want to keep that guy as contained as possible, and probably, again, not we haven't talked about it a lot, but probably want to do a better job than they did in game one.
Well, let's listen to Daryl. It's one of my favorite quotes of the series so far when asked about the job or what the series might look like if that area for Calgary doesn't improve.
He's a great player. He's the best player in the league. He was the best player on the ice last night. Like, not even close. So, at the end of the series, if Connor McDavid gets 4 points a game, good luck. Have a good next series, Connor.
That might be my favorite one in a couple weeks, and you seem to get a pretty good one every single day. But that's it. Listen, I don't think he is his usual self. I think he's a level and a half above what I've ever seen before right now. So you're not going to shut this guy out. You're not. Not very often. And the way to do it is a bit of a blueprint that you saw, and he still got a goal in the first, where, guys, I didn't even notice him very much, really, in the first 10 or 11 minutes of the first period. Because when you have the puck all the time, that's a pretty good place to start. And when you have lines on two or three different occasions that were pinning the McDavid group in their own zone for long lengths of time, that's the best way to go about your business. And you cannot for a second be unaware when he is on the ice, and you need to make him come through layers of people. Because one guy, even two guys, with where he's at right now, that's more than enough. In fact, Kirk Muller talked today about you don't need five, you need six to deal with that guy. So, you know, but one of the things that bothered the other coach was his best guy and the best guy on planet Earth got four. They got six in total, and it wasn't good enough.
Lou, in terms of, you know, I asked Logan off the top about, you know, okay, what are we going to see here? I mean, we don't know. I don't think it's going to be a 9-6 game again, but a lot of people, it's going to be a nice place to end in terms of team defense on both sides. You just talked about defending Connor, but no doubt about it, the Oilers want to be better as well. As you know, you heard Woodcroft talk after game one about all the breakdowns they had defensively. A lot of people focusing, Lou, on Leon Draisaitl's injury, and you can understand why, but how about the injury or whatever is happening right now with Darnell Nurse? I mean, zero hits in game one, and that's a pretty big loss that I don't know if we've talked enough about, because as this series goes on, if you're Calgary, you're obviously going to want to finish every check you can on 25, and as they try to keep the Flames off the score sheet, he's a minute muncher, and if he's not as effective as he can be, that's a pretty massive loss for Edmonton.
Well, when he's right, he's a terrific player. You know, he's in that, what I like to call, you know, the Team Canada type conversations when it comes to his abilities when he's at the top of his game. And as we know, over the last two seasons against Calgary, he's usually in the 27 or 28 minute category. I mean, Jay was asked about that too. And I mean, you're not going to get anything where that is concerned. You know, this is where the eye test in particular, and obviously numbers, can back some of those things up. You know, I don't know how many guys are in the position that Draisaitl, obviously Nurse, you know, Chris Tanev continues to skate. Don't know if we're going to see him again in these playoffs, but there's a lot of guys playing at far under 100%, but well, there's no denying that he is their most important guy on the back.
Yeah.
And when you don't have your best people at the top of their games at this time of year, your challenge goes up like tenfold. So part of winning at this time of year is, yes, you have to have great players. You have to have people who rise and elevate through a lot of things. But let's not forget, you need a little good fortune along the way, too. Because I'd sure love to have Chris Tanev in this series.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like Tanev's going to play again tonight, and you do worry about something pretty serious and long-term there with him. I know he's been skating, but it doesn't appear that we're going to be seeing Chris Tanev anytime soon, which is a massive loss for Calgary. And, of course, Darnell Nurse being not at 100% has led the Oilers to being skating with 11 forwards and 7 defensemen throughout this series. Okay, Lou, we got to wrap things up a little bit. So it is Friday, which means we'll do What Does Lou Say in a second. But reminder, Lou joins us every day for our good friends at the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference, now offering air miles, reward miles. You can check them out online at GeminiGroup.ca. It is Friday. If you want to chime in, we've got a handful of left of these this season. Every Friday on this program, we do What Does Lou Say? It's brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, where primetime steak is broiled to perfection and served sizzling on a 500-degree plate, ensuring each bite is as hot and delicious as the last. You deserve this. All you got to do is go to sportsnet.ca/960, click on the contest page, find Lou's picture, and What Does Lou Say? Submit your question there. If we select it on a Friday and it's read and answered on the air, you're a winner of a $200 gift card to our friends at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This week's winner is Janelle, and Janelle asks, Lou, what is your favorite Battle of Alberta memory of all time? And of course, that is a very broad question. There's lots there, Lou, but everyone's been talking about it. We've had a lot of people go down memory lane this week. We did it a little bit earlier in the week on Tuesday and Wednesday, and the floor is yours with Janelle's question on your favorite Battle of Alberta memory of all time.
Oh, there's so many, and I have a lot of them. Maybe not to the extent of people who lived here or completely embroiled in it, because I was, you know, in Saskatchewan at the time, and I shared a little story the other day, and I guess I have to share it again. I have two. So, you know, I was a pretty big fan of Theron Fleury in his playing days, and still am. So, you know, his game winner in game 6, where he went sliding across the ice at old, you know, at that point, North Lions Coliseum, that's right up there. But for me, I love the New York Islanders. Love them. In fact, until the Dallas series, I don't know if I felt as emotionally invested in NHL hockey since the New York Islanders and their era. Well, we know who bumped the New York Islanders off the pedestal, the Edmonton Oilers. So it wasn't hard for me to be fully on the Flames bandwagon during that stretch of my lifetime. So when the Oilers won game, or when the Flames won game 7 in Edmonton in 1986, and I was living and just starting my career in Estevan, Saskatchewan, I think they heard me that night in Mydale after the game, and Mydale is about 25 miles outside of Estevan. So I ran around our block and about 4 other blocks in great and utter wonderful 19-year-old joy. So that I'm so sorry to even say that, because to this day, it really makes me sad. You know, that's a Steve Smith moment, and he's such a great guy and a good man and was an excellent player, good coach. So I almost feel bad about that being number one, but the Flames just winning that game, you know, I would have had the same joy regardless. It had nothing to do with just them finally beating the Edmonton Oilers was magic. The only other moment in the NHL, because I probably disliked the Montreal Canadiens even more when I was younger, and when Al McAdam ended their run for the Minnesota North Stars in the spring of 1980, that was a very joyous moment as well.
Awesome stuff. The question this week coming from Janelle, all you got to do in the future, every Friday for the next month and a half, we've got more opportunities for you to win a $200 gift card from our friends at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Go to sportsnet.ca/960. Click on the contest page, submit your question. If we select it, read it on the air and answer it, you could be the next lucky winner. What Does Lou Say is brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Treat yourself to the primetime menu and indulge in two courses, including the mouthwatering petite filet for just $55. This is how game day is done. I should have asked this before the mailbag question, Lou, but just quickly, because it is front of mind, I think, for a lot of Flame fans. We just saw them in the last round. Thoughts on Rick Bowness stepping down from the head coaching job in Dallas?
I hope it was as much his decision as anybody else's. It's been an absolute pleasure to listen, interview, spend a little time chatting hockey with Rick Bowness. Back in my junior days at Sportsnet Television, his son Rick Jr. is very much involved in the hockey business too, and he's a chip off the old block. Rick Bowness is just one of the most, and I mean it, one of the most delightful people that you'll ever meet in the sport. So. Yep. If at 67, which I think he is now, if it's time to go in a different direction, and he had a lot to say about it, I'm good. You know, if not, I just wish him absolutely, he and his family, all the best going forward. I'm a big fan.
You talk about a dinner table conversation. Yeah, that's you can sign me up for one-on-one with Rick Bowness. I mean, that guy.
He's fabulous.
He's awesome.
He really is.
Yep. First year, by the way, for those wondering, in the NHL as a coach was 1984-85 with the Winnipeg Jets. So he's been around. He's done some things, and he's been with a lot of teams and had a lot of success. Obviously, he was a part of Alain Vigneault's staff in Vancouver for a long time as well. And, yes, echo those thoughts with you, Lou. All the best to Rick Bowness and his family as he and the Dallas Stars parting ways today. Do hope it is mutual. It was the end of his contract, so certainly think that makes a lot of sense when it comes to him and his potential future. Lou, great stuff as always. Enjoy the heck out of your afternoon. Have a great call tonight, and we will talk to you again on Monday.
Fabulous. Everybody have a very safe, fun-filled long weekend. This is a long weekend, right?
It sure is, but we're on the air Monday with our program, so that's why I said we'll talk to you Monday. But it is a long weekend, so if you are traveling, I know a lot of people in Alberta like to camp for the first time this weekend, so enjoy yourselves, be safe, and let's just have a lot of fun, because it's going to be awesome over the next couple of days. Game 2 tonight and Game 3 on Sunday. Thanks, Lou.
Okay, have fun, guys.
There he is, Peter Labardius, every single day to begin this program on The Big Show. Hour 1 continues on. A couple of texts have come in at 960-960. We've announced the winner already off the top of the show. We do it just after 1 p.m. every game day for that night so that you have plenty of time to plan out the rest of your day and your evening and even select who you're going to sit beside. This week or today, I should mention, Game 2's winner was Travis. Travis has already been contacted by our promo team. So if your name is Travis and you're listening and you did not get a call from Sportsnet 960, then unfortunately you were not the Travis who won. But Travis got a pair of lower bowl seats to Game 2 this evening. And we'll have another opportunity for you next week if this series goes into Game 5. And of course, if it goes into Game 7 as well. But yes, from this point forward, however long the playoffs go, and as long as we've got tickets to give away, we'll be announcing those on The Big Show just after 1 p.m. When we open the show, so that you've got plenty of time to plan the rest of your day and get set to make your way to the Scotiabank Saddledome. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. It is Calgary Flames game day. We'll take a break when we come back. A little bit of a visit away from the Flames and Oilers. We've got lots of Flames and Oilers content coming up for you the rest of the afternoon. But when we come back, two pretty awesome games in the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, and we'll reflect on those, including not a full edition, but we were asked earlier this week, and around the corner, we'll bring you a mini edition, a little Michigan Monday on a Friday coming up around the corner. Hour one of the Big Show rolls on next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's game day. Flames, Oilers, game two. Battle of Alberta, second round of Stanley Cup playoff series. 8:30 is the scheduled puck drop. Expecting it to actually be dropped at about 8:45 this evening. It's Will Nault and Logan Gordon along with you. And just quickly on that note, Logo, there's a growing, I wouldn't say anger, more like disappointment, but there seems to be a little bit of thought out there on social media, where, of course, all sane thoughts are put. But lots of people saying, you know, you got your game's biggest star in the second round for the second time in his career. Of course, that is Connor McDavid. And we've got a game starting at 8:45 Calgary time, 10:45 Eastern time. And I understand not having two games on the air at the same time from a television perspective, especially with the new deal you signed with ESPN and TNT. And, you know, television at the end of the day, those numbers are very important to the NHL. But it is a little bit head-scratching to think that people on the East Coast have to stay up to about 11 o'clock just to see puck drop between the Flames and the Oilers. And it really is too bad because a lot of people will be turning off their televisions at that time. And, you know, this game goes into overtime or double overtime. We're not talking about a 2 a.m. or a 3 a.m. Eastern. We're not talking, you know, until a finish at about those times. So where are you on that in terms of, again, it's hard because television runs it, but there seems to be a thought out there that, you know, can there be some sort of workaround here? Because you're really limiting your audience. And if television drives your game so much, wouldn't you want to have more eyeballs on a game like tonight?
Well, you'd think so. I think it's a massive missed opportunity by the NHL, especially, and I know the times are done before, but I mean, coming off of what was, you know, really entertaining game one, people are going to want to be tuned into this. And it's one of the latest. I don't even think we had an 8:30 start at home this year for the Calgary Flames. I think they're going to be their first. I'm sure we would have had
some. Yeah, they had a couple in L.A.
Yeah, the California ones we're used to. But these ones just don't make a lot of sense for me. Your point about Connor McDavid is right on in marketing your biggest star. But I also think, in my mind, marketing your biggest series is something that lacks in this. I mean, as far, maybe we're too close, but maybe people outside of Calgary and Edmonton feel differently. But I think this, out of all four of your second round matchups, screams primetime television, screams getting to the most eyeballs. We haven't seen this in 31 years. These teams have a tendency to do pretty crazy and wild things when they meet up, and people are going to be interested by that. Why push it to times that, I mean, even here, and I'm sure the argument will be, well, it's a Friday and it's a long weekend, but again, no one's staying up till 2-3, and you have to be a real hockey diehard out east, really, you know, east of Alberta to get into that. So I think it's a massive missed opportunity. I don't, you know, the TV side of things, you're right, it's about, you know, not covering two games at the same time, but to me, this just feels like a chance to really sell your product and sell a great version of your product, and you're putting it at a disservice starting it this late.
Always talk about the Mountain Time being the best, and I too do truly believe that.
Oh, but yeah.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for those in the East. And, you know, I got a cousin out in Halifax where it won't start tonight until 11:45. It's too bad. And, you know, I don't know if there's a solution because, again, we talked about it. They don't like to have two games on at once, and you understand that. You know, you're a network like ESPN. You've kind of signed up to have, you know, one game on at a time, but yeah, it is. It's strange and curious. We'll get Mike Rupp's thoughts on that perhaps in the next hour, because he's a guy who would be out east and is obviously a hockey fan and works at the NHL Network. I'd be curious to see where he is on the late starts and whether or not he's going to be dialed in to the Flames and Oilers if it ends up in overtime. We're talking about a 1:30 in the morning or 2 a.m. puck drop of overtime. So nonetheless, should be a lot of fun tonight in Alberta where the game is. It's an 8:45 start. It's scheduled for 8:30, but puck won't drop until about 8:45. If you missed it earlier this hour, did mention it. I'm sure the guys this morning talked about it as well. The Calgary Flames have announced that due to the weather on Wednesday, of course, the red lot was canceled. And because of some of the damage that was done, thanks to those high winds, the red lot has been closed again tonight for the viewing party. Will not be open Sunday either, but the Calgary Flames have opened the Saddle Dome up for a Game 3 viewing party. Inside in the seating bowl, game will be on the Jumbotron. Tickets are free, non-transferable, and have no cash value. You can get them tomorrow morning beginning at 9 a.m. on CalgaryFlames.com. The Flames are asking that you limit to 4 per person, and you please only grab the amount of tickets you will use to avoid unused tickets. This, of course, due to high demand. So there is your update on viewing parties at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and area. No red lot tonight or Sunday, but a viewing party Sunday at the Dome inside the building in the seating bowl with the game on the Jumbotron. Just quickly before we hit the break, we'll rehash things later on in the program as well. But on last night's performances, both in Denver and in Sunrise, Florida, credit to the St. Louis Blues. Logan, we talked about it a bit going into the game yesterday. A lot of eyeballs on Colorado, a very familiar spot for them, a dominant opening round, a dominant opener to the second round. And then, you know, what would they do for an encore in game two? Well, they didn't play that well. In fact, Nathan MacKinnon postgame saying we were awful in a lot of the areas that we needed to be really dialed in. Didn't like the performance at all. They lose the game to the St. Louis Blues, and the series is now tied at 1, and it just goes back to it. You know, we're talking about the Avalanche trying to get over that hump, and it really is gut check time now as they face a 1-1 split going to St. Louis for games 3 and 4 tomorrow and Monday. And it's kind of like, okay, if you're the Avalanche and you're going to get over, who are you looking at to help them get over this hump? It's kind of hard to look past Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, that's the guy that really needs to step up for this group and sort of take things over. And we know he's capable of that. You don't have to remind Flames fans in this city what Nathan MacKinnon's able to do when he's at his best. And now we say that, but we know, you know, guys like him get paid special attention to by other teams. You still have to find a way to have your impact on a game. And last night just probably straight up probably wasn't good enough from him and a couple of other people on that Avalanche team that are key to their success. It's going to be hard. You had to assume that St. Louis was going to do everything they could to not be in the same position they were against you last year, where they were down 2-0 and it led to a sweep. And, you know, their whole revenge narrative from the Blues, they're just not a team that goes down easy. I just didn't think Colorado was very prepared for last night and really didn't respond well. And that's sort of been the whole story about round twos for this team the last couple of years. Heading now to St. Louis, they're going to need a bounce-back effort from some of their star players.
We'll see what Game 3 presents for the Avalanche, but it does feel very familiar to where they were last year. And you're right about Nathan MacKinnon. I watched him take over the Memorial Cup and the championship final there against the Portland Winterhawks when he was a member of the Halifax Mooseheads and a teammate of Jonathan Drouin's. He lit things up, had a hat trick in the final. So when he's asked to be on his game and when he knows the pressure's on, he's been known to turn it up. So I certainly think that it'll be a lot of eyeballs on him tomorrow in Game 3, 6 p.m. Only game on the schedule tomorrow in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Colorado and St. Louis from Missouri. A 6 p.m. start here in Calgary on Sportsnet and CBC. That is because Tampa and Florida will have a 2-day rest. A concert scheduled in Tampa on Saturday night is the reason that game does not happen until Sunday. And I heard many people talking like, you know, Tampa, you know you're going to be in the playoffs. Why are you scheduling concerts? It's unfortunate for them. They've got to play a back-to-back as a result. Logan, they'll play on Sunday and Monday will the Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning. But game two last night, it looked like we were destined for overtime. We take you to this game in the final seconds of the third period.
Kucherov right circle. He is checked. Belden Palato right point. Find the net. Kucherov. Five to go. Kucherov. Put it in front. Score! Score! Ross Colton with 0.9 seconds left. Incredible! 2-1 Lightning. Kucherov magic.
And what a shot by Colton. Quick release. The people here are in shock. What a beautiful play. But hey, Cooch does it again. Now, bank off the boards, okay? They bank it off the board.
I love it. Espo's laughing.
Golden with 0.9 seconds left. Incredible.
I love it. Absolutely love it. You know who's not loving it? The fans of the Florida Panthers, Logan. 3.8 seconds on the clock. You heard it there from Espo. What an unbelievable pass from Kucherov. And credit Ross Colton, who put it top shelf and didn't have the biggest of windows over Bobrovsky's shoulder, but he puts it exactly where he needs to and then trips on the puck as he's trying to celebrate. But tons of excitement for the Lightning as they grab a 2-0 series lead, winning both games in Sunrise, Florida. 2-1 the final last night. It looked like it was for sure going to overtime. And, you know, Florida needed that game desperately. As Logo, I do believe, I put this on Twitter last night, you know, the Lightning just, they're not going to die. I mean, I don't know how do you kill this group? They are, you know, just getting it done and on their way now. Another massive step closer to the three-peat. It really is. It's been an unbelievable year for Florida. But I'll be honest, Logan, I can't see them winning four of the next five games. It feels like last night was kind of that, not final nail, but a couple of whacks of that hammer to put that final nail in the coffin. That is a gut punch of a loss for the Florida Panthers last night.
Good teams just, they stick around and they find a way. If you don't put them away, this is what's going to happen. It's what happened in game one for Florida, and they didn't learn their lesson. You tied it up in the second period late. You need some of that momentum to roll over in the third period and find a way to get Tampa on their heels, and they haven't done that in this series. They've just allowed the Lightning to stick around in these games and find their opportunities. And last night they found their opportunity with 4.9 seconds left on the scoreboard. That's what good teams do. I'm sorry, if you're the team closest in proximity to Tampa Bay, you've had a first row seat to watching them do this the last 3 years, and apparently you're incapable of figuring that out. Now, I understand that's easier said than done. It's a very good team in Tampa Bay, but Florida, you won the President's Trophy. You're just letting them stick around in these games. That's what's going to happen. I'm sorry. I saw the exact same thing in game one. Tampa wasn't great in game one. They simply slowed the game down, and when Vasilevskiy had to be good, he's been good. Waited for their chance, and they got it, and they did the exact same thing in dramatic fashion last night. Andrew Burnett looked stunned. The crowd looked stunned. I mean, it's just, that's what happens when you let that sort of team wait to find their opportunity and you don't go down there and take it from them. I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
And for a team that, you know, how many times they scored more than five goals this season, they've got one goal in each of the first two games of this series. They've been outscored 6-2 by Tampa, and they have, let's wait for it, folks, 8 playoff games. Zero power play goals.
None.
Zero power play goals for the Florida Panthers. And you've got to find a way to get your offensive game going. A lot of talk going into game three now about whether or not Joe Thornton finds his way in the lineup. I think you got to do something. I know that Joe Thornton is definitely not anywhere close to what he used to be or even what he was a couple of years ago in Toronto. But for a team that, especially on the power play, I think Joe Thornton can help you there. He's still got that elite vision. I just feel like you've got to figure out a way, because this is just, and you know what, Andrew Burnett, give him a lot of credit for the coaching job he's done. He said it for weeks as the season wound down. He said, you know, we've got to find a way to win some tighter games, because that's what the playoffs is going to be. We can't expect to win 7-6 in the playoffs or 6-5 in the playoffs. And it's come completely true here. And Florida needs to find a way to get their offensive game going Sunday or Sunday in game number three.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest worry in this thing was all was goaltending, and Bobrovsky's been perfectly fine for Florida this entire time, and here we are again. I mean, we talk about winning the President's Trophy and the lack of success that comes with that sometimes, because you really don't, when you win the President's Trophy now, Will, it just feels like you've had such a good season that you really never experienced the kind of pushback that's going to come in the playoffs. And I kind of wonder if that's not happening to Florida right now.
Florida trails the Lightning 2-0. Game three goes Sunday afternoon, 11:30 a.m. Calgary time, 1:30 in Tampa at Amalie Arena, as the Lightning have taken a massive step towards that three-peat. They lead the Florida Panthers 2-0 after winning both games on the road. Before the commercial, before the commercial break, Jonas Korpisalo is re-up with the Columbus Blue Jackets on a one-year deal, and we talked about it with Lou. Any thoughts, Logan, on Rick Bowness stepping away as Stars head coach?
It felt like it was time. If you paid attention to Dallas or talked to some of the guys that we have, it just felt like this was a situation that was forthcoming. I think that they've reached their peak in that bubble opportunity, and now as the new core sort of takes over things in Dallas, perhaps a new voice to lead them forward. And I think Dallas has to think about, you know, if Jim Nill is the guy that they want making that hire. So I think if that's the process that you're going through in Dallas, whether you're sort of evaluating your GM and you're, you know, in a position to move on, you want that GM to potentially have the say when it comes to his head coach. And I think Rick Bowness did everything possible that he could with that group. But, you know, as we've seen in hockey, the bench life or the shelf life for coaches, I guess, should be, you know, wondered about, because it never lasts all that long, especially when you get so close and fall short of it like they did in the bubble there. Hard to repeat that success. So great coach. I think Rick Bowness will be back in the league as soon as he wants to be, but not surprised. I think it was time for a new voice to take over in Dallas.
Rick Bowness stepping away from the Dallas Stars head coaching spot. Jonas Korpisalo re-signing with Columbus on a one-year contract. That's some news away from the NHL's Stanley Cup playoffs. I know it was in the news this week. We've mentioned it a couple of times, but in case you missed it, John Hines has also signed an extension to remain head coach in Nashville. There is your NHL story, your spin around the league from last night. Tonight, 2 games on the schedule. We've mentioned, of course, and you know, the Flames and Oilers taking place at the Scotiabank Saddledome, game two, just after 8:30 this evening. And the night gets going at 6 p.m. in Carolina as the Hurricanes, winners of game one, will look to win game two on home ice against the New York Rangers. Again, that game going at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet. Let's transition and head into hour number two. We've got a pretty fun hour lined up for you. Some of your best bets going into the weekend from our man Jordan Tamayama, and a pretty cool special guest coming up at the bottom of the 2 o'clock hour. Former NHLer Mike Rupp will join the show in hour number two. If you missed anything from hour one, don't forget you can find the Big Show wherever you get your podcast: Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe now and never miss a moment, and be listening all throughout the playoffs as the boys on Flames Talk give you another Flames spiciest moment. It's all brought to you by our friends at Bacardi Sprite Spiced Rum. We'll take a break, come back with hour two and Jordan Tamayama as we continue on the Big Show. It's a game day right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.